Good morning. It is both a joy and a privilege to bring you a message grounded in the Word of God this morning. It's a simple message today, but one that I believe will offer both hope and healing. A reminder that next week is the first day of Advent, which is a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the Nativity of Christ at Christmas and the return of Christ at the Second Coming. And so we will be having live Zoom services beginning next week and continuing, hopefully, until we can meet again in person. At the beginning of May this year, I preached a sermon titled, I Am the Good Shepherd. Of course, these are the words of Jesus as recorded in John chapter 10. And we looked at the first 18 verses of the chapter where Jesus expounds on the differences between the so-called shepherds of Israel, those were the Pharisees, and himself. Now, these differences include the facts that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, that he knows his sheep intimately, and that he brings others, that is, the Gentiles, into the fold, and that he is set apart for the task. You see, his resurrection was evidence that he is the eternal Son of God. Today, I want to build on the good shepherd theme by looking at just two verses from the same chapter. And we'll be reading John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for giving us the gift of salvation and your eternal word through which you speak to us. Lord, I pray that you will use this message to point us to Christ. May we become less and he become more. Give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to embrace what you want to say to us this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. My message today is titled, He Will Hold You Fast. According to the dictionary, to hold fast means to hold firmly or tightly. The phrase is used several times in Scripture, but there is an added layer to the meaning found in Scripture. You see, not only does holding fast mean to hold firmly or tightly, but it also means to take possession of and to settle something once and for all. He Will Hold You Fast is the title of a song that my youth pastor from 37 years ago, now I feel old, shared with me this week. So hence the title of the sermon, and I hope to share the song with you a bit later. I reconnected with him on Facebook a couple of years ago and was inspired to find out that he continues to share the gospel. He is a church planter, a preacher, and a missionary. And on Friday, he celebrated 50 years of being a Christian. Now, he posted a picture of his celebratory cake on which it said, celebrating 50 years of God's grace. You see, my friend recognizes that all of the past 50 years of his life were not as a result of his abilities, his knowledge, or his effort, but because of the grace of God. And underneath that on the cake were the words, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. And no doubt this is a paraphrase of 2 Corinthians 5:17, which reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Now, building on this amazing promise, let's look at these verses from John chapter 10. Verse 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Now, in order to fully appreciate what Jesus is saying, we need to look at the context of this chapter. Prior to this, Jesus healed a blind man, and the Pharisees were investigating the event, and it is to them that Jesus mainly addresses in chapter 10. Now, earlier in the chapter, Jesus says something similar about his sheep in verses 3 to 5, which say, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, He goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. There it is again. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so the good shepherd leads them out, and he goes ahead of them. I've mentioned before that when we think of sheep farming, we tend to think of sheep being herded from behind, or you may have images of sheepdogs running around the skirts of the flock, chasing them in the desired direction. Yet in the time of Jesus, shepherds would go ahead and the flock would follow them. In my research, I found that it was common for more than one flock to be kept in the sheep pen during the night watch. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and call his sheep, and only those that belonged to him and were under his care came to him. He was the one that provided for them, and they recognized his voice. Yet the verse says he calls his own sheep by name. Now the invitation for those that know him is to follow him. It is personal. When David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," it was intensely personal. And he understood who he was following and what it meant. That the shepherd can be trusted to lead you to green pastures, beside quiet waters, where you can find rest for your souls. He knew that his shepherd would lead him on paths of righteousness, and that even in the darkest valleys of life, his shepherd would be right there beside him, comforting him. This message is titled, "He Will Hold You Fast," because these verses remind us that Christ holds on to us. We are not strong enough to hold on to him, so he holds on to us. And even knowing the voice of the Savior is as a result of him holding fast to us. So much of what is preached is about our response to God. And this is not unbiblical in any way, but it can lead us to think that much of our security is derived from our behavior or our righteousness. Friends, the gospel needs to be at the forefront of our hearts and minds because we are prone to forgetting who and what it is really about. And to this end, I would encourage every believer to articulate the gospel in your own mind, not only as a tool for reaching the lost, but also as a reminder that our moral conduct is not what saves us. You see, the perspective in these verses is through the eyes of Christ. A look at those three simple words from the mouth of Jesus. "I know them." Talking about his own, including you and me, if we call ourselves followers of Christ and have faith in him, he says, "He knows you." This word "know," ginosko in the Greek, is the first person, present tense, singular, which means that Jesus knows you right now, he continues to know you, and he knows you personally and intimately. How amazing is the love of God that in Christ we are known by him. He knows your fears, he knows your failures, your insecurities, your weaknesses. There's nothing about you that he doesn't know. In fact, the Jews understood and used this word to describe the act of intimacy between a man and his wife. It is an expression of the highest comprehension of a person. Nothing about you is left unknown when you are known by Jesus Christ. Now just comprehend that for a minute as we reflect on the words of Psalm 139. Perhaps you want to close your eyes if you see fit. Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God! How vast the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Awe-inspiring words from the Word of God. Now, verse 28 of John chapter 10 is key here, and I want to draw your attention and focus on the next three things that Jesus says. Firstly, he says, I give them eternal life. I give. Jesus gives us eternal life. It cannot be earned by works of righteousness, by attending church faithfully, by tithing regularly, all good responses and acts of worship, but never enough to cancel our debt. Romans 6 verse 23 reminds us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages, or that which we deserve for our sin, is death, eternal separation from God. Yet Christ comes as the agent of grace and grants that which we don't deserve, eternal life. According to the Bible, the opposite of eternal life is not finite life or eternal oblivion, which means nothing after this life. To perish means eternal destruction apart from God forever, or eternal death, ongoing death. Either way, it is for eternity. And so it is the life part that gives meaning to the word eternal here. And that is what Jesus meant when he said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me ask, if something is eternal, how long will it last? When I was much younger, I signed up to a gym that was offering a lifetime membership. The idea was that if you paid them a lump sum, which was equivalent to a year's membership, if you paid them up front, they would grant you lifetime access. It seemed like a good deal, and so I took it. Now, a year after the gym opened, it went out of business and they couldn't deliver on their promise. Only Jesus Christ can offer eternal life, because as Colossians 1:15-18 reminds us, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And the implications of this are tremendous. Christ can promise and grant eternal life to his sheep because he is the author and sustainer of life. Lifetime membership into the family of God is both in the present and perpetually into the future. If you are his, then eternal life is guaranteed. There's no going out of business. How do we know this? Because Ephesians 1:13 tells us that when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And as the old song reminds us, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Secondly, Jesus says they shall never perish. It's the word Jesus uses in John 3:16, where he says, if you believe in him, you will not perish. Now, the Bible word never here is really two Greek Bible words, o and may. It's a double negative, like never not. Now, this may not fly in the English language, but in Greek, a double negative is used to emphasize that something will most certainly not happen. It's a way of saying by no means. And someone said this particular combination of o may means not a fact, not even a possibility. So Jesus says here that there's not a possibility that his true sheep will ever perish. He says they will never perish. O may. That ain't going to happen. There's not even a possibility that one of his sheep will ever perish. Thirdly, Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, someone said, Satan may tempt you. He may defeat you. He may embarrass you and humiliate you. He may, with God's permission, strike your body from head to foot like he did with Job. But there is one thing he cannot do. He cannot pluck you out of God's hand. Now, what's the point of being in God's hand if you're not immune from trouble, you may ask? Well, Romans 8 asks and answers this very question. Verse 31, what then shall we say in response to these things? And this is referring to the corruption and the pain, which is aptly described as groaning. It goes on, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Let this be a comforting reminder that Christ holds onto us. We are not strong enough to hold onto him. So he holds onto us. There's no expiry date. I'd like you to take a minute now to think about that which burdens you. Perhaps you're afraid of the future in uncertain times. Perhaps your health is failing or you are lonely. It may be that you are struggling with finances or you've lost your job. Whatever you are facing, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He will hold you fast. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we come before your throne of grace and we worship you for who you are. We thank you that you are eternally a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Lord, I pray for those among us, those who know you and whom you know, who are weary and burdened this morning. And I ask that you will hold them fast. I pray for healing where it is needed, for restoration and comfort, for strength and for wisdom. Help us to lay the things of the world down in favor of your rest and take up your yoke. Amen. I'm going to end with the words of the song I mentioned earlier, and then I'll play it for you. As you listen, I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, since he is our comforter and healer. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, he must hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost, his promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast, till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last.
Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold. Sigh.